morning, Ebenezer, family, and friends. It's just good to be back with you on this day that the Lord has made. So much is going on in our nation, our world. I especially want to keep it on my heart, especially when I go into prayer a little later, about what's going on in Haiti. Just the destabilization of the government, the assassination of their president. I'm really concerned because I visited there sometimes, and I've got associates that are connected with theirs. So let's just lift up these nations, and we got Afghanistan, and all of us are some way connected to a person who knows a person that's actually in that area. We're all connected. And so the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And in this end time, we need to realize that God is a wonderful plan is going on, and that souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. So I encourage you to continue to stay in prayer and to seek God's face in everything. Don't forget about everything that's going on at ebcnc.com. We've got our Bible studies on Monday or special events, Tuesday, noonday Bible study, Wednesday Bible study, where we're almost finished with the book of Joshua. And also we've got our 8:45 in-person service, our 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person service. So all of these things to encourage us in prayer, encourage us in reading the word, encouraging us to stay focused. Thank you so much for all you do, your giving, whether it be via ebcnc.com or the Tively app, or sending into our special mailboxes that we have at church, or in-person services where you can give. All of those things, we truly appreciate it. And most importantly, that God has taught us to give from a heart of cheerfulness, that we know that God is our provider, and he's done so many amazing things in our lives. Any amens in our out there? I'm telling you, when I think about all the things that he's done, he has been a good, good father. The word for in my life has been for 2 weeks, distractions. And I believe that somebody out there, that's a word for you. And it just keeps coming back up. In this life, there's so many distractions, especially when we strive to get into prayer and to read God's word and to stay focused on God's calling within our lives. So I have a scripture I just want to read to you, and I encourage you to meditate on it and to get it into your heart as we're learning more about the Holy Spirit and his movements in our lives. It actually comes from Psalms 119 and verse 15, and I'm going to read it out of the English Standard Version. That's Psalms 119 and 15. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I'm going to read that again. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. This is the prescription to get rid of distractions. We have to stay focused on God's word and to meditate. It's actually a Hebrew term, and when we look at it, that means to chew on the cud like a cow, to go over and over. And it has its also tyings to the Greek words that a cow chews on that cud and gets all the nourishment out of it. This is the same thing here within the book of Psalms, chewing on God's word, staying focused on God's words. And we've got to fix our eyes on what God has told us to do. And I'm telling you, with all the stuff that's going on, this is what it's going to take to really be all that God has called us to be. Well, I want to pray with you and pray for you at this time. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for all that are connecting virtually right now, Lord, whether they're in their living rooms, or maybe they're on their lunch breaks, or maybe they're listening as they're driving alone. Father God, we just thank you for this platform that you've given Ebenezer. Help us, Lord. Help us to be more like you, to follow you, to fight through all these distractions and to focus in on your plan for us. We lift up the Haitian government, Father God. We lift up the Afghanistan, the withdrawals of our troops. We're excited to get them back home. But at the same time, Lord, we know that there's so much destabilization that's going on in our world. But when we read the book, Father, when we read your word, we understand that this is all falling into that end time prophecy. So, Lord, we just are begging you to save more souls and bring them to the knowledge of the truth of who you are. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. I again pray blessings in the lives of your believers. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll have my mansion now. Oh, I believe. I believe. I believe. Oh, I'll have my mansion now. Oh, I believe. I believe just what he said. I'll do all things through Christ. Oh, I believe. I believe. Oh, I believe. I can do all things through Christ. Oh, I believe. I believe just what he said. And he shall supply my need. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe, and he shall supply my need. Oh, I believe, oh, I believe just what he said. By faith I believe it. By faith I receive it. By faith I can have it. By faith I can share it. I believe just what he said. Oh, and I'll have my mansion now. Oh, I believe. I believe. Oh, oh, I believe. I will have my mansion now. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe just what he said. And he worked it out for me. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. Yes, I believe. Oh, he worked it out for me. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe just what he said. By faith I will know it. By faith I can show it. By faith I will bear it. And now I declare it. I believe just what he said. Oh, and I'll have my mansion now. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. Oh, yes, I believe. Oh, and I'll have my mansion now. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe just what he said. And he loosed the guilty stain. Oh, I believe. And I believe. Oh, I believe. And all the guilt has gone away. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe just what he said. Oh, yes, he loosed the guilty stain. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. Yes, so I believe. All the guilt has gone away. Oh, I believe. And I believe just what he said. Yes, I believe. Just what he said. And I believe. just what he said.
It is such a blessing to be saved. As we get back into the power of the Spirit today, I really want you to think about this journey that we've been on. I have just been amazed as we've been going through the scriptures and being able to view all the details of how the Holy Spirit works inside of us. And God has given us, the Father has given us this information via His Word. We just have to study. We have to jump into it. Remember our journey. I was focused on that Genesis 1 and 2 and that second verse especially. It said the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That whole creative process of God Himself making something out of nothing is working on the inside of us. And again, that's the power of the Spirit. Today I want to focus in on 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the 13th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the 13th verse. And while you're getting yourself together and getting prepared to possibly take some notes and just to focus in, we got to push back those distractions. I ask you to please go in a word of prayer with me. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your massive provisions. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are listening and viewing. Lord, that if there's anyone that's out there that's not saved, that doesn't know you, Lord, would you prick their heart today? Would you help them to have a yearning to want to be in your presence and to be your child? You said if they would confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead, you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift of you. Help them to receive that gift. Lord, I thank you so much for that. Now, Lord, as I approach this word today, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, I welcome you. We're teaching about you. So would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you, God, for using us in these last days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen to this scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. I want to read that again. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. I want to speak from a title subject matter today. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Spirit. This particular portion of Scripture is really a detail oriented, and as we go into it, I think our purpose today and the Spirit's purpose in these scriptures at the time of Paul the Apostle writing it was to actually give a summary more than detail. I've actually in Bible studies gone through every detail and the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he's in the believer, but I want us to focus in on the oneness of that. In 1960, Peter Schultz, a Catholic priest, he was actually forming a youth choir out of his basement. And there were many different races that were in that choir. And he couldn't find a song that actually fit that setting of the people. And the Lord put this song, this iconic song, on his heart. They'll know we are Christians. And I just want to go through it because that really gives us a foundation to really put our arms around these scriptures today. It goes like this. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. That oneness in the spirit is going to be our focus, as said before. Time frame is still 56 AD. And this Corinthian church, man, so many things are happening. They had grown from a small church to a mega church, and the gifts were flowing. But now the people, some of them were feeling selfishness arising, that somehow these gifts were for the individuals, and that the individuals could actually be lifted up within themselves. And the Spirit really begins to minister that it has nothing to do with us per se, but it's all about what God is doing in the entirety of the body. Let's jump into this 1 Corinthians 12:1-3, and I'll give you some thoughts, because this is important to meshing and for the church to become powerful and be where God would have us to be. Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Somebody say ignorant. Ignorant. You might want to put that in the chat. Ignorant, because that's going to be the focus. Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's a heavy, heavy verses there. First point, and I really want you to just kind of take this in, because that's in that first part of that scripture. We must be taught. We must be taught. Sadly, there is so much ignorance when it comes to the children of God, because we don't reach into what God has already put in His Word and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. He's our teacher. We actually taught on that last Sunday. He wants to guide us and lead us into all truth. But we have that fight that's going on of the flesh and our spirits, and all of these things are striving to mesh. And God is saying, you've got to submit yourself. You've got to crucify the flesh. The Corinthian believers, they were especially gifted, but problems were arising because, again, selfishness was coming out. They were making it all about the individuals and saying that this gift was better than another particular gift. And also, they were coming from a background of being Gentiles, being heathens, being living all kinds of life. They were into the mystical arts and all of these things. And literally, in the Greek, when you begin to look at this particular verse, this is not just talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is bringing out that this could be the gifts of the enemy, because they had seen supernatural things actually happen in the darkness of the world that they were living in the evil times. You remember in the Old Testament with Moses. Remember Moses and Aaron, and God gives them this wonderful stick, and God says, I need you to go before Pharaoh. And the stick that Moses has, Aaron has, and they throw it down. And Moses' stick, it turns into a snake. That's power, the power of God. And I've always been amazed at that. I'm like, God, you can turn a stick into a snake because you're God. But then there are court magicians that are there in Pharaoh's court, and they got sticks. They got their own sticks. Where did they get these sticks from? I have no idea, but they have their own sticks. And they throw down their sticks, and guess what? Their sticks turn to snakes. And so there is evil supernatural power that's out there. But what separates this whole story with Moses' stick and the magician's sticks, Moses' snakes actually ate up the snakes of Pharaoh's magician. So God says, even though you can do supernatural things, I am all powerful. I am in control. And yes, even within the body, if we're not careful, some of those things can seep in and we can get confused. The enemy is the master of deception. He's the master of bringing a cloud of confusion. Let me show you in 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. We're one in the spirit. It's sad to say, but yes, the enemy has seeped into the body so many times. Thank God that he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But many, many pieces of the body have been torn and the enemy has come in and punched the body so many times and brought in evil desires and wickedness. And we know that we fight against principalities and rulers of darkness in high places. But I'm so glad for the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. A theologian, Kittle, he actually gives us more information of the background of the Corinthian church and these verses, what was going on a deeper level. He says, herein lie both a statement of fact and insinuation. They need to face the fact that before they were saved, they were led about into all forms of superstition and blind impulse. The pagan worship of Corinth not only involved the worship of dumb idols and temple prostitution, but is also involved the pagan exercise of tongues. The practice of ecstatic utterances was very common in the cults and in the worship of various Greek gods and goddesses. Now, this is so important, this statement, because we can see that within the Corinthian church, it was very important to make sure that the things that were happening were of God, the true and living God, and were not of the devil, because again, they had come out of these practices. And so some were bringing in, the shadow of the lives that they used to live in, and they were actually getting confused. Can you imagine being within the fellowship in that Corinthian church and someone began to speak in tongues? And that's why Paul the Apostle had to give all the details on tongues, because he realized, you know what, they could actually be used of a demon. A demon could have been invited in and also trying to take away what God was trying to do. And so it was very important within these scriptures to make sure that people understood the power of the true Holy Spirit that dwells inside of the believer and how he flows. Theologian McDonald, he adds to this, listen to this. Before conversion, the Corinthians had been idolaters, enslaved by evil spirits. They lived in the fear of the spirits and were led about by these diabolical influences. They witnessed supernatural manifestations of the spirit world and heard spirit-inspired utterances. Under the influence of evil spirits, they sometimes, here it is, surrendered self-control and said and did things beyond their own conscious power. This is critical when we think about it, because in the scriptures, we've seen this over and over as Paul the Apostle would go from place to place. He saw people that were actually sorcerers and they were using these evil powers to hoodwink the people. And then God's power would come forth and the eyes would be open. So this process was so important that God says, I'm going to show the people who I really am. As I think about that, how many times has the enemy tried to sell us a fake for the real thing? There ought to be some hallelujahs. I want to say that again. How many times has the enemy tried to sell the church a fake for the real thing? I was thinking about Jesus. Remember Jesus? He goes into the wilderness. He's there. He's fasted for all those days. And then after he finishes fasting, he hungers. Hunger returns. And that's when the enemy comes in to tempt him. And one of the temptations I thought about, the devil begins to talk and he says to Jesus, he said, if you just turn these stones to bread, and he gives these promises and you know that that he's in control. And this is all on a supernatural level. And Jesus says these words. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But I think about if we were in that situation and we had the ability to turn stones to bread. I know many of us would have just said, you know what, I'm going to turn this to bread, this stone to bread, and we would have been out of the will of God. Lord, help us. When I think about so many times that we've actually missed the movement of God's Spirit and we've lent ourselves to evil things. And so that's why it's so important that we need to follow what God is doing and getting to being able to discern his voice and understanding what the leadership of the Holy Spirit is. How many times have we failed God because we were sidetracked by the enemy? There ought to be some shouts, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, because there have been times that we allowed our emotions to lead us. There's been times that we'd allowed our desires, our evil desires to come up and get us off track. But as we look at these scriptures, we find out that God is calling us to be one in the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:4. He goes on, Paul says, as he's led of the Spirit, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Here's a point that we've been working towards. It's all about him. It's all about God. It's really not about us, especially when it comes to this Holy Spirit and him working in us to do the will of the Father. Their belief here within the Corinthian church was that certain gifts, and I talked about this a little earlier, were better than other gifts. But please note that the Spirit has diversity of gifts, and he moves in different ways. Now, I'll use this example. It's like the Spirit, basketball terms, is like 6'6", 6'7". He can dribble and he can post up. He can shoot free throws and he can do all the things of all the positions. And if you found a person that could do all those things and he never got tired, you would call him a superstar. And this is what the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is as he's working in the body of Christ. We're one in the Spirit. He's our superstar. You are right, superstar. So I say he is my superstar. The Holy Spirit is our superstar because he does it all. When we lean to him and stop leaning so much to us, we can understand that God is up to a wonderful plan. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, that's capital S, is given to each one for the profit of all. Here's another point. It's for the body. So we know it's God's plan that's working, but it's for the body when the Spirit is pulling us together. We are one in the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:7, that second part. It says, the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I want to read that again. Given to each one for the profit of all. It's not about individuals. It's about the body. It's for the body to do what God would have us to do. And so often we get so caught up in the individuals and what they have on and how they sound and all these things. And God is saying, I want you to get caught up that I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe. A quote that God kind of put in my heart the other day as I was studying, he says, all believers have a gift, and it is to manifest in the body of Christ to profit the body of Christ. I want to read that again. All believers have a gift, and it is to manifest in the body of Christ to profit the body of Christ. Our gifts are about the body. I'm concerned when I look at our nation, and I look at the Christian church, and I'm like, God, if you've given us these gifts, are we using these gifts for us? Are we using these gifts to profit for us, Lord? Forgive us that these gifts be used of the Holy Spirit for the body, for your will and purpose, that souls again can be saved and come to the knowledge of your truth. Lord, help us to be one in the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. 9th verse, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of the healing by the same Spirit. 10th verse, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Here's another point. The Spirit works the gifts. This is important. The Spirit, capital S, works the gifts. It's not us working the gift, it's the Spirit working the gift. And that means that we have to be submitted to God's will in God's way and not our way. And that's where the dysfunction was coming within the Corinthian church. People were trying to put their thoughts before the Spirit. They were trying to push things and make the Spirit do things that God says, no, this is not the direction that I want it to go in. God wants us to be one in the Spirit. The question is, how is the Spirit manifesting himself in you? As we look at those scriptures, man, we would be here all day if I would go through and break down the details. And as said earlier, I've actually done that in some of our Bible studies that I've taught lesson after lesson on the details of these scriptures. We'd be like Paul the Apostle who was preaching into the night hours. But I believe the Holy Spirit, as he put these scriptures together and they flowed together, he wanted to show us about the body and its interconnectivity and us. How does the Spirit manifest himself? Maybe God is saying, I want you to have the gift of healing today because there's someone that's going through and they've got a calling to fulfill in their life, but the enemy has brought in some sickness and disease. But what I need for you to do, I don't need you to have a whole bunch of oil or anything, though we do see that in scripture. But you know what? This is happening at Food Line today, and you don't even know this person, but you're going to walk past them, you're going to start a conversation, and you're going to feel my presence. And I just want you to lay hands on them, and I just want to speak. You ain't got to go crazy, you ain't got to knock them out or anything, but I'm just going to make you the connection point, the conduit that gift can be used. There ought to be some hallelujah. Maybe God is using you with that supernatural understanding of knowledge. He's giving you a word of knowledge, and while you were in your prayer time, and he put somebody's picture in your mind. And so later on, maybe you text them and you said, you know what, God, I was in my prayer time and God put this word of knowledge in, and I just want to give it to you. And guess what? On the other side of that text, somebody receives that and they've been praying through some stuff, and what the word that God gave you, that word of knowledge, was just what the person needed. This actually happened in my life just a couple of weeks ago, that someone gave me a critical word that I needed, and it solidified my faith in what I had been praying about. I'm telling you, God wants to use us with these gifts. We are one in the Spirit. Maybe God wants to manifest himself via the Holy Spirit through discerning of spirits. And some of you have been using this, you just didn't know it. You ever have been at a point and maybe there was someone that was getting in a relationship and it just didn't feel right to you. And because we hadn't been taught these things or gotten deep into the scriptures, we just kind of said, girl, if I was you, I wouldn't get in that relationship. We didn't call it a discerning of spirits, or maybe we were speaking into a child's life. And we said, no, I don't think that's where you need to be at. But it was God that was actually using the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to help you to see things that you could not see. The Spirit wants to assist us in the whole plan of God, again, that people's lives can be changed for the better and not the worse. We are one in the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. 13th verse. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That final verse, that 14th verse. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. We are one in the Spirit. Now, this final point, I was just kind of processing, like, how do I get all these thoughts that the Spirit is putting on my heart? So I kind of put it like this. The Spirit makes many, that's capital S, the Spirit makes many one. The Spirit makes many one to do much. I want to say it again. The Spirit makes many one to do much. So God's whole plan and purpose through the Holy Spirit is for us to all be solidified together. It's by the Spirit. He wants to do what we couldn't do in ourselves. Don't we see it in our governmental status that you get people together? And sometimes, you know what, we can vote and we can be kind of on the same page. But for the most part, people are falling apart. Relationships are falling apart. Governments are falling apart. Nations are falling apart simply because in the flesh, it's hard for us to stay on the same page. But for the believer, hallelujah, I'm excited about this. For the believer, we are saved and we've got God's Spirit on the inside of us. So when our flesh would be contrary, the Spirit is connecting with us one to another to make us one so that we can do much all about what God would have us to be. It's like playing beautiful music. Yes, on the piano, there's many keys. You've got the white keys, you've got the black keys. But when you put the right chords together, oh, what beautiful music. But when the right chords are not there, it is a cacophony of sounds. And God is saying, for my body, I want to make some beautiful music. I want things to come forth in a powerful way that people can be touched and delivered and set free. Look closely at 1 Corinthians 12:13, that first part. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, the Spirit of God. Remember their background. They were dealing with and had dealt with all kinds of demonic spirits within their lives. But now the Holy Spirit coming on the inside, Paul reminds them, it's by one Spirit we were all baptized and we've come into one body. And God wants to do a wonderful thing. And that second part of the scripture, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Are there any hallelujahs out there to know what God has done in our lives, that by the Holy Spirit coming on the inside of us, that we're saved and we're delivered and we're set free, and he's bringing the body together. He said, oh, drink of what the Spirit is doing in our lives. It reminds me of Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Bless the man who trusts in him. That's why the cross of Calvary is so important, because Jesus carries our pains and our griefs. He has nails in his hands and nails in his feet. He's taken the beating for us. He hangs on the cross of Calvary, and because he was fighting the fight that we could be one in the Spirit with him via the Holy Spirit, he gives us an example of the thief on the cross that comes to himself and said, Father, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? And Jesus connecting with the Father says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. That is good news, because the thief could not merit getting in on him with his own stuff that he had done in his life. But I'm so glad that God is in the saving power. And when we think about our lives and all the sin that has occurred and all the evilness that we've caught up, aren't you glad for a Savior that would die for us on the cross of Calvary? They put him in a cold tomb, but he gets up on the third day with all power and all glory so that we could be one in the Spirit. But so often we take that for granted. We take for granted of the wonderful work that's happening on the inside of us. That's why the scripture says that we have this wonderful treasure in earthen vessels. The plan of the Father for us through Jesus on the cross of Calvary is so immense. And when we come together, that we are connected by that capital S, the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, the power of the Spirit making us one in the Spirit. Oh, what a wonderful day when the church of God can come together and focus on God's plan, many becoming one to do much. I believe that we're in that season. I believe that we're in that time that God is allowing some things to happen to keep us close to the cross, allowing some things to stir up that we can't depend on ourselves, but we have to depend on him and his Holy Ghost movement within our lives. That is not just a Sunday thing, but this is a daily walk where we'll have to hear his voice, because people need the manifestation of these gifts, not just on Sunday, but God wants to use this as we're interacting on our jobs, as we're in our grocery stores, as we're in our families. He wants to use us as that conduit for his glory. Saints of God, this is our time to lean in strongly into the Lord, to get to know the Spirit's voice. Oh, that we stop grieving him. about, but we make them happy about a body that submitted himself to the will and the plan of the Lord. If you're out there and you're not saved, man, why wait another day? Why wait another hour? Why wait another minute or a second? Call on him right now. I'm telling you, to be used of God via the Holy Spirit is a beautiful thing. Just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. You will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Receive that gift. Even as the Holy Spirit uses us in the manifestations of the gifts to assist others, God wants to use us in this whole salvation process. And it starts with giving yourself to him, that you can realize it's not about you, but it's all about him. There's some saints out there and you've been blessed today. You've been blessed thinking about we're one in the Spirit. I want to encourage you to get in the Word more, to pray more, to seek God's faith, to be aware that he wants to use you on a daily basis. And to say, Lord, I thank you for your wonderful plan that you created from the foundations of the earth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the souls that have been saved and have come to know who you are. Thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you for the saints that have been lifted up, God, that we can realize that we are one in the Spirit. And Lord, that we don't push our own agendas and we don't allow our flesh to get out of here, but we crucify the flesh, Lord, daily, that your Holy Spirit can lead us. Thank you for your word that's so intricate. Thank you, God, for teaching us, leading us into all truth. Lord, we praise you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Whisper a little prayer in the morning. You just whisper a little prayer at noon. You just
Spirit, and it's all been made available to us by God's Holy Spirit, which we've been teaching about. I encourage you, get to know the Holy Spirit. Get to know the power and the authority God has put inside of us that's so much bigger than us. How do we do that? We talked about it today. Get in the Word more. Pray to God. Ask Him to lead you and guide you into all truth. And push back the distractions. Push it back. Say, God, I want to be used in your gifts on a daily basis. I'm a witness. He'll use you. And so many people will be touched. Their lives will be changed. And people will know Jesus is Lord. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.